Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, Nicodemus had absolute power in Jerusalem. Tremendous influence. Do you? And being a Pharisee of his stature, he had great wealth. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it to heaven. Don't you think this is offensive? Come on, let's be honest. The preaching of the cross is offensive.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, Part 2. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 18, we'll consider where we'll spend eternity. You see, heaven is a gift. It's not based on how much wisdom we have, our good works, or the amount of authority we've been entrusted with. How we get there is not exactly what you might think. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that every Christian who is willing to have his or her life turned upside down and inside out for the glory of God here on earth is heaven bound in the end. Now, with his message called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, look at verses 23 and 24. Not by being rich enough, because listen, rich enough cannot make you happy enough. Rich enough can't make you happy enough. This guy's not happy. And when he heard this, verse 23, when the man heard it, he became very sorrowful. The word in the Greek Bible is very sorrowful. This guy's very sad. One of the ancient commentators writes that the man's shoulders slumped forward with sorrow, for he was very rich. There's nothing wrong with being very rich, unless those riches own you. And when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful. Jesus said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Notice, he didn't say rich people can't go to heaven. He said it's hard for rich people to go to heaven. Do I need to elaborate on the dangers of riches? They mess us up. You know this, over 75% of people who win the lottery within 10 years are broke, divorced, and hooked on drugs or alcohol. Did you know that? Because it didn't fix their life. It gets in the way. Personally, you may be upset with me for this. Personally, I pray and wish that Christians were mature enough to handle earthly riches. I get really upset when I see bad people with a lot of money, spending their money on prostitutes, on drugs, and doing terrible things. Would to God that Christians could handle wealth the way God intended them to handle it. Amen. But we can't, I guess, we can't. We begin to think different, park our cars differently, look different, you know, just whole everything changes. Why is that? Becomes a controlling factor. You cannot be rich enough and be happy. True story. This is a true story. I met a man recently who, in his job, he's had many jobs. God has used it. He loves the Lord. Has many. He's done a lot. But he had a project that he embarked upon. And he embarked upon this project. And when he was done with the project, some company liked his project. And guess what happened? That company wrote him a check for $80 million. He went to the bank and cashed or deposited $80 million. And that was just one job. Loves God. What's he going to do with the money? I don't know what he's going to do with the money, but if he does what he normally does with all the rest of his money throughout the history of his life, he gives it away. He supports missionaries around the world, Christian efforts around the world. Now, how do you handle that? Do you know what? God has found this particular man that I'm talking about, I'm not going to name him, God has found him faithful enough to give him so much because God knows the more I give this guy, the more he gives away. You want to know what's so cool? He owns that stuff. The stuff doesn't own him. And in this young man's life, the stuff owned him. Are we losing stuff in our culture? Are we losing stuff in our current financial crisis? How are you handling that? Are you putting a gun to your head? Oh no, I've lost my stuff. Give me a gun. Oh no, I've lost my stuff. I'm leaving my husband or my wife. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You have no Christ in your life. You've got stuff in your life. And that is how you have equated your success and existence. I have great possessions. I have great wealth. I have great youth. I have great power. What happens if you lose it? Do you know God vertically? That's the issue. You'll never be happy enough. Number three under this second point is this. Rich enough cannot get things done for you. This is one of the things of riches that fool us. Jesus says, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for rich men to enter the kingdom of God. In Ivor Powell's book of Luke, it's entitled Luke's Thrilling Gospel, chapter 386. He makes mention of this, and I quote, once the main gates of Jerusalem were shut tight against nighttime marauders and marketeers, a cameler, they called them back then, had been known to try his effort at getting his camel and goods through the lesser pedestrian gate that flanked each of the great gates of Jerusalem. The load was often removed. Church, put this in your mind's eye. The load was often removed from the camel and had to be carried by the man, the cameleer himself, through the tight gate, and the camel had to be contorted and then would need to crawl on its knees through the passageway. It was not impossible, but extremely difficult, like a rich man who loves his riches more than God. Here you have a camel carrying all your stuff. How do I get in? It's not impossible, but you got to carry this stuff yourself. You got to take it off the camel and carry it. And then you got to get your camel to go through the door on its knees. And what a funny picture. Putting Vaseline on the camel, pushing on the camel, pulling the camel. Breathe in, camel. Isn't that funny? He says it was not impossible. It was extremely hard. And that's important. Because what are you and I hanging on to? And God is saying, I want you to let go of it. It's freaking you out. It's messing up your life. You can't even think straight. You can't eat because this thing is controlling you. Why is it controlling you? Why is it so important? And this is a trick question. Can you live without it? What do you think the answer is? Oh, come on. Just go ahead and lie. Say yes. Of course you can live without it. The bummer is, just like this man, we shall see, you're not willing to live without it. I don't mean you, I'm just saying. Point three, and we'll end with this final point. Thou shalt not get there by being faithful enough. Verse 26 and 7, faith enough in Jesus Christ saves you, my friend. Not how faithful you are to church. As beautiful as that is, and as beautiful as it is to be faithful to your children or to your husband or your wife, you're not going to get to heaven because of that. You should be faithful. It doesn't get you to heaven. There's only one object of faith that will save you. Boy, isn't this narrow? Huh? Come on, let's be honest. Isn't this narrow? Absolutely narrow. Right on that it's narrow. And those who heard it said, verse 26, who then can be saved? See, they equated salvation with how blessed you are. If you're a rich young ruler, you must have entrance, huh? Jesus said, verse 27, these things are impossible with men. Hallelujah. What's he saying? Salvation is impossible with man. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Man cannot save himself, Jesus says. But it's possible with God. So those who heard it, it freaked them out when they heard that. How hard it is, verse 24, he said, for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. When they heard that, they freaked out. It's impossible for you and I to get to heaven from here by the things that we have. I'll just quote the verse for time's sake. You can look at it later. But in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, isn't this what Nicodemus encountered? Was not Nicodemus a religious man? Are you religious? Listen, Nicodemus had absolute power in Jerusalem. Tremendous influence. Do you? And being a Pharisee of his stature, he had great wealth. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it to heaven. Don't you think this is offensive? Come on, let's be honest. The preaching of the cross is offensive. How will Bill Gates get to heaven? The same way Mother Teresa will have to get to heaven. How will Billy Graham get to heaven? The same way you and I will have to get to heaven. By faith in Jesus Christ. You don't put your faith in him, you're not going, Jesus said. You see, well, Jack, that offends me. May it offend you to the point of coming to him. It's impossible, he says, unless, mark it, chapter 2 of Ephesians, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, some of the most offensive verses of the Bible. For by grace, that word means unmerited favor, freely given. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Secondly, we know this, faith enough in Jesus Christ qualifies you. Then Peter says, look, we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. Peter is looking for, he's looking for assurance. He just saw this happen. Oh my goodness, Jesus, we've abandoned everything. Church, listen, I need your attention. I know it's late, we're almost done. Peter's saying, wait a minute, we've left everything to follow you. Give us a thumbs up, Jesus. Pat us on the back. Excuse me, the last time I read my Bible, what did Peter give all for to follow Jesus? He had a net that had a bunch of holes in it, and he might have had two boats. We know this, he had a fishing company, and it wasn't doing very good. Lord, I fished all night and have caught what? Nothing. Oh, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Have we ever fallen into that trap? I'm a Christian. Oh, I have left this great life of mine, this incredible career, all of this stuff, and all. Boy, the places I have given up to follow Jesus. Oh, come on. Really now? Have you forgotten that he has given you eternal life? That if you are a billionaire, you couldn't have bought it? No, it's Christ that qualifies us. Galatians 2:20 says, and this is how it's done. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can you say that today? Christ lives in you. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow. And finally here, verses 29 to 30. So Jesus said to them, faith enough in Jesus Christ rewards you. He says, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, parents, brothers, wife, or children. Jesus is saying by decision to go preach the gospel. Hey, honey, I'll see you in a week or two. I'm going to go on a short-term mission trip to China. Or Russia, or Germany, or Mexico, or Detroit. I'm going to go preach the gospel. Jesus says, that's fantastic. Right on. It also implies those who have been abandoned by their husbands or wives or by their homes, who when they come to Christ, maybe that's you today. I know there's people in this church who they accepted Jesus Christ and their husband or wife found out about it and said, "You what? You're what? Yeah, I went to church today and accepted Christ. You raised your hand? You were sitting right next to me and you raised your hand and it was the beginning of the end of their relationship and it wound up leading in divorce. The unbeliever said, I'm not going to be married to a Christian. Can you believe that? It's happening. Jesus says, I tell you what. He says, if this has happened to you for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. This is powerful stuff. You and I are not alone. We're not abandoned. And so I want to end with this. You can close your Bible. We're done. Do you have, are you such a wonderful citizen and we're so grateful for you? Don't stop doing those horizontal things. But do you have a vertical thing with God? The man went away sorrowful. Another gospel tells us that Jesus, when he saw him go away, Jesus was sad. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Tell me what to do, I'll do it. Or I'll buy it. Or maybe I can just inherit it. Just tell me. All right, this is it. And Jesus looked into his soul, and Jesus discerned this man kept 5 commandments horizontally, but every other commandment vertically he broke. And when the man came to that realization, his shoulders slumped and he walked away. And the Bible says, for he had great riches. He had great obstacles. Father, we come to you this morning, and I believe America, if not the world, is being tested right now. And this is it's always been the best time for the gospel. But maybe now, in our lifetime, maybe now more than ever, people are losing things. People who had hopes of retiring at 63 or 68 or 71 or whatever, those things have evaporated. The economy is falling, and our leaders are throwing us headlong down a cliff of destruction. People are scratching their heads from Wall Street to Washington to the shores of Southern California, wondering what's next. Could it be, Father God, that behind all of this, you're engineering a plan? Could it be that you're stripping and cleansing and acid washing the grime and scum from our lives? Could it be that you're opening our eyes to see like never before, that the difficulties of our life has led us to this place and time now? My friend, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, does any of this ring true to your heart personally? Can you today say that you're willing to hate your civility and your wonderful morality, to be disgusted with it, because today now you have been awakened to the fact that you don't have a personal relationship vertically with God? It's my prayer right now, my friend, whoever you might be, that you are sensing that great void in your life. Your riches didn't fill it, your power didn't fill it, and your youth didn't fill it. Right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians praying today. Do you believe, my friend, that Jesus died on the cross as he said he would and did for your sins and mine, and that he has risen from the dead? In 3 weeks, this church will be looking at that empty tomb in Jerusalem of Christ. Do you believe he rose again from the dead? Do you believe the gospel message that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life? If that's your desire today, I would just like to see if your mind has been changed today by you raising your hand wherever you're at and you're saying, Pastor Jack, that's it for me. I want a vertical relationship with God. I want to know him. Anybody this morning? God bless you to my right. Anyone else? You're saying yes to him. Father, we thank you today. And Lord, we pray that as we walk out of the doors of this church, that you would not only, Father, galvanize these believers who trust and love in you and want to walk with you, but Father, these who have made decisions for you this morning, Father God, that as they leave this place today, that there would be a sense of a renewed life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when Pastor Jack was asking how confident you are in your salvation, were you able to give an answer? Do you really know without a doubt what it means to be saved? If you still have some questions regarding salvation, we can help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab there labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab. And when you do, you'll find out what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and you're not listening by accident. The Lord wants you to know who you are in Him so you can trust Him to lead you on the right path and rely on Him in all that you do. And be sure to let us know about your decision for Christ. We'd love to hear it. And if you have any questions or concerns, give us a call, 877-777-2346. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or on the Real Life app. Hey, Pastor Jack, there's something real exciting going on here in Southern California, and I want to throw it out to our listening audience. Would you tell us about Just Church?
Yeah, wow. I'm so excited because this is something that is actually several years, I believe, in the making.
Yeah.
And it's simply this, that during the entire COVID era, we watched people just drop like flies. I don't mean sick. I mean give up. People yeah. gave up on going to church, and then they got out of the habit, staying in, sleeping in, church online now, still today,
yeah.
is what people have chosen to do. But that's technically not church. You're just simply listening to a teaching. It's like listening to the radio or a Bible teaching on a program. That's not church. To do church is to gather. And so the Lord just burned it into my soul regarding Just Church. And so we are going to do that. We're going to host Just Church on September 8th at the Honda Center right here in Anaheim, California. And it's all free, Davey. The parking is free.
Yeah.
Entrance is free. All we're asking people to do is to show up and bring their Bibles.
So let me ask you this, Pastor Jack. Who is the type of person that would attend Just Church?
Yeah, you know what? So many people, Davey, have been disillusioned over the last 3 to 4 years now. Either their church went woke and they lost their way, disappointed. Yeah. Maybe the church leadership hurt them. Or what about God? What if they're upset with God because of COVID, or they lost their job because of the vaccine issue? I don't know, but I know this, a whole lot of people who belong to the Lord Jesus are not fellowshipping. And so it's our effort, it's our attempt to introduce people to maybe how to find a Bible teaching church. Davey, please understand this. We're not inviting people to come to our church. There's no more room, honestly, seriously. We have no more seats. We are literally going to give you the tools to where you can find a church that honors Jesus and really is a New Testament church.
The Honda Center is a great venue, and I'm excited to see what's going to go on. This is something obviously that's real close to your heart. I mean, I can see it. Engineer Johnny can see it. Why is it so close to you? Why do you feel so strongly about it?
It's so close to me because it's not a denominational thing. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a Lutheran thing. It's not a Calvary Chapel thing. This is a simple offering to the Lord Jesus for His people to recommit their lives. Davey, it's an opportunity, a massive opportunity for people to say, that's it. Christ is coming back. I need to get my life right. And that begins with getting back to the church. He wants us to be the church. And we're going to lay aside hurt. We're going to lay aside division, and we are going to come and have just simple worship, clear message, so that we can make a radical recommitment. That's what it's about.
Pastor Jack, how would you encourage folks to ask a friend to come with them?
You know, I would invite them simply this way. Hey, you want to go with me to the Honda Center? And I would really stress Honda Center.
Yeah.
We're doing it at the Honda Center because it's not a church.
Yeah.
Right? So, hey, you want to come with me to the Honda Center? There's going to be this thing called Just Church. I mean, just make it that simple.
So bring a friend and bring your Bible.
Oh, yeah. Let me stress that, Davey. Thank you. I know I'm going to sound like a dinosaur, but just because it's such a public event, just because Christ is coming back, I think it's going to be great if we ask people not to bring their phone or their tablet with their Bible on it.
Yeah.
Bring a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, grab your mom's Bible. If your mom doesn't have one, grab your grandma's Bible. But physically carry a Bible. Can you imagine the witness of thousands of people walking into the Honda Center carrying their Bibles? Listen, we're going to make the Honda Center
the biggest church in Orange County that night.
You know what I'm picturing right now is the Bible my mom had that was like 8 feet thick, you know, weighed 100.
Bring your Bible on wheels.
Bring your Bible on a two-wheel dolly. Pastor Jack, remind us one more time, when and where?
The when is September 8th. September 8th. The Honda Center will open up parking at 4:30. The doors will open up at 5:30. And at 7:30, we're going to have Just Church.
That's Friday night, September 8th at the Honda Center for Just Church. For more info, go to justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.